Hello, welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast about New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here with my co-host, Heather.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe.
Hello.
And Heather's dog, Sprinkles.
Who's wearing an outfit from Joe that looks like something Jess would wear.
Yeah, accurate.
Actually, all of her clothes look like something Jess would wear.
We're here to discuss season 4, episode 21, Pantygate. Before we do, we'll pass out the feeling stick. Joe, do you have a feeling stick that has nothing to do with the episode?
So, not in this one, no.
I have two feeling sticks. So, one time a while back, we were all doing the podcast, and you said, oh, Heather, you should have a Golden Girls podcast. Mm-hmm. So, just for funsies, I looked it up. There's a ton. Mm-hmm. But one particularly made me laugh because my worlds collided. Uh-huh. It's called Sophia's Choice.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I listened to it. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the other thing, this is about Fancy Man. He is on a lot of movies on Tubi. I'm not sure why. The one I watched when it came out, it's called Family Pictures. He's super young. The other one, I didn't watch because it looked incredibly cheesy. Mm-hmm. But if you like lame 90s stuff, it's called Too Young to Be a Dad. And he's the person who's too young to be a dad.
Who is?
Fancy Man.
Dermot
Mulroney.
Oh.
We're all slow.
That's Dermot. How you have to say it.
Yeah.
And McDermott? No, it's Dermot.
Dermot.
Yeah, anyway. Right? I don't know.
Okay. So Dermot, well, Fancy Man. If you like Fancy Man, you want to see him when he was young, go to Tubi.
Nice. He was also the one who was in Shameless, Joe. He dated Fiona for a while. He was the addict. He ran the Polly's Pies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the Netflix description of this episode is, Jess tries to doctor, coach, and May's relationship as they hit a monumental hurdle. Schmidt agrees to take the blame for Fawn's political mishap. Joe, what do you got for Joe Flick? Oh,
so
this wrote it down.
Are
you okay?
A love doctor, if you will. Now, you'll have to watch the episode to see what I'm talking about.
Well, I already watched it in preparation for this podcast, but I think you're confusing Joe Flicks with, like, Joe title of the show.
Yeah, no, but this would be a good title of the show. A love doctor, exactly. If you will.
Okay, yeah. Love doctor. Oh, because Jess got it.
Love doctor, ooh, if you will.
That's some good Joe flicking.
Because she says that a lot in the show.
Yeah, she does.
She's I must be
a love doctor.
I'm Jess, the love doctor, right. If you will.
Nice.
All right.
I'm going Joe Flick.
Guest stars from this episode.
How are you going?
They're both not that
But
great.
What's the Netflix description?
I just read it to you.
It didn't have love doctor in it.
Yeah, that's true.
It literally did. Just tries to doctor Coach and May's relationship.
Oh, no, that's a different doctor.
Okay, yeah. I'm moving on to
the doctor she's talking about is a love doctor. The doctor you're talking about is doctoring something up.
Sometimes I feel like the listeners are making eye contact with me while we're recording.
And you're rolling
We feel you, Jill. Guest stars from this episode that are new include no one. We open in the loft where Coach and May are fighting / not fighting because the gang's trying to figure out if they are or not.
So May's not a guest star?
Well, we only introduce it the first time they're on.
Oh,
if I did that, the guest star segment would never end.
Oh, it would be so long.
So Winston isn't really worried about their fighting because he put a waffle in the
toaster.
I was like, what's that thing with the, who pushed it down? And if it gets out, it's going to get hard and won't taste good anymore. And I just know that to be true because Cassidy, our daughter, went through a waffle phase.
Oh, that happened.
So that scene, I always think about that scene when I make waffles. May walks by and says, bye guys, there's a waffle in the toaster. And Jess is like, there's going to be something terrible happening. Everyone's like, it's fine. And Coach is like, yeah, we broke up. She got a job in New York at the Met.
Something terrible indeed.
Right?
Yes.
Then I don't know why, but Schmidt does something that they say, oh, he starts talking about the Met and everything he knows about music. And Nick says, jar slap. And he's like, well, I don't have any cash on me, so slap. And so I'm so excited the jar's back.
Yes, so we have one
jar. Watched the next episode, I know why they mentioned it again. Because the next episode has a heavy jar moment.
Oh.
And they're like, they want us to remember the jar. Oh. Foreshadowing, if you will.
After three seasons.
Right? So we're at the bar and Cece's reading a book. What's the name of that book, Heather, where she really climbs Shasta Mountain? Do you remember?
Is it Eat, Love, Pray?
No.
Oh.
Anyway, it was a thing at the time. So they're mocking that book.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she ate and prayed and loved.
So it, Schmidt reads that it's a book that you need when you need to have strength in crisis and says, Cece, are you in crisis?
But he pronounces it different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crises.
Crises.
Yeah.
Even yes,
on
yes,
closed
right. yeah.
caption, it's ES.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
Oh, that's
well, that's
funny.
How he said it.
Yeah.
So she asked how things are going with Fawn, and he says that him and Fawn are a team now. Their Fawmit would be their ship name.
Fawmit.
Literally, that's what I just
that
said.
Was hilarious.
I don't hear vomit. That's what he says to her.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
but
I'm
then,
pretty sure I hear vomit. No, no. Vomit.
But then he says it later.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I hear it.
Oh,
now.
I do hear vomit. Oh.
It was literally the funniest. That to me, that was the funniest name combo I've ever heard.
And he says there's a press conference that they're both going to be at today, working together. Back at the school, Coach is giving a sex ed class where he starts crying, is obviously very upset about May. And I love when they pan wider to the shot and you see that Jess is there. And she's like, not the best day to observe this class. Although it probably was the best day. At the press conference, Fawn is giving Schmidt a statement to read. And he says he's just going to improv and read it when he gets out there. And finds out as he's reading, he's taking the blame for Pantygate. And he's the one who asked her to do it. And most of all, he's sorry to, quote, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, end quote.
And he's Jewish.
I know, his face is like,
Yeah, that was trying to find a way to blame that on someone other than
it
yourself.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Although I could see that being the political PR spin on it.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job of doing that, actually.
And Schmidt was so sweet to go along with it.
Well, I don't think he had a choice since he'd read half of it.
Well, no, to even do...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't look at it.
Until
she told you, you read it, better read it. No, I don't need to read it.
So we're at the loft, and the guys are taking Coach out, and Jess is like, you know, I think you need to talk about it. I think you're upset. And she thinks she's the expert. She's a love doctor, per se, if you will. And Coach is pretending to be okay and over the top and excited on his way out. And he reminds Jess that May is going to come by to pick up her cello anchor thing.
No, like, no, there was a big to-do about that.
Oh, go ahead. Tell us.
They're like, oh, you know, the cello, the round thing, the thing that holds up the cello. It's like 5 minutes. And then finally Nick's like, the cello stabilizer.
Yeah.
It's a cello stabilizer.
That was, they could take any one thing and just
make
go
it exhausting.
An inanimate object
exactly.
And talk about it for 7
sometimes
minutes.
I wonder if that's why people like our show, because sometimes, especially the two of you, will just like randomly, not on topic, not on trying to move it along, and you two are like,
it's weird how that happens, because I listen to the podcast and I'm like, oh, we want
well,
to have a tangent.
I attest that to the closed caption because
it has nothing to do with what I just
if
said.
If you didn't hear, they talk over each other a lot.
Oh, they totally do.
So cello stabilizer was actually spoken under his breath a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you're not listening, like I do all the time,
then
you
do not listen. Closed caption is like a savior.
Right.
You know, so
it is a savior.
You see cello stabilizer. And then they go into something quick because that's their comedic timing. You know what I'm saying? It's like just that little jab. That's funny.
I'm sure that, like to your point, I'm sure that, like, in every episode there's things that people miss.
Yeah.
Because they do talk over.
Yeah.
I like how they talk over each other.
Yeah, because it's like real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that slap, she didn't even mention it, probably because she doesn't have closed caption when she watched it, but after that slap, Coach is like, nice slap.
Yeah. He said that? Yeah. I did notice he said that, but I do try to not just recite the entire show. But
yeah. It's hard.
I only recite the funny parts, yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyways, they're back at the press conference. They go inside, and Schmidt slams the door very dramatically. He's upset that he's getting blamed, and she said, we just need one last photo op of us at dinner having a good time, then we can put this behind us. And he suggests they go away together, and I'm like, that's not happening, pal.
Right.
At the loft, Cece comes to the door. She's frantic. She's getting food. She's decided to climb Mount Shasta, like in the book, and she's going to be gone for 3 weeks. And Jess is a little concerned because she has no, you know, formal training for mountain climbing.
Right.
Or outdoor skills.
And going alone.
Yeah. And so May comes to the door. Jess asks if she's okay because she heard about the breakup. She said she's fine. Closes the door. And Cece's like, you know, obviously you're wrong. But Jess gets down from three. There's a knock at the door again. And it's May sobbing. And Jess is like, the love doctor is in.
And I just thought May was going to take off and not come back because she's like, and Jess is like, I'm here for you. I love you. I'll take care of you. And she's all.
But the funniest, the funniest part of that is Jess, right?
That's what Heather was saying.
Yeah.
That's literally what Heather was saying right then.
Right. I was repeating that. That was the funniest part.
No, you heard.
That was very funny.
But I think it's ridiculous that she doesn't know Jess's name because she's been around for a while. But
well,
it's still
some
funny.
Some people aren't good with names at all.
So we're at the bar, and Coach is drinking way more than usual. They're like, wow, this is weird. He's going kind of hard.
Wait, I'm going to just back up. Jess says, you're wearing dress shirts on a Monday?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Thursday. Anytime someone says, oh, I'll see you on Thursday or something, I'm like, on a Thursday, in my head. On a Thursday?
Yeah. So Nick says the classic line that's repeated so much on the internet. You treat an outside wound with rubbing alcohol and an inside wound with drinking alcohol. It's science. I've seen that on the internet more times than I can count.
That's great.
Did you get that, Joe? Did the closed captioning give that to you?
Right there.
Oh, you did write it down.
So, that was the best line of the show, really, I thought.
Did you?
Besides a love doctor, if you will.
And vomit.
No, I think I agree with Joe. That's pretty strong because it's funny and it stood the test of time. Black Velvet comes on the jukebox and Coach says this is his jam. But before we see what happens next, we're back at the loft where May's eating crackers and crying is very hard to understand and says that she does love Coach and she wants to ask him to move to New York with her.
Ooh,
back at the bar, Coach is dancing with way too many girls where May walks in because Jess has brought her there and is very upset to see him kissing and dancing with other women. Jess comes in the next scene to apologize to Coach.
Well,
which
wait
is
a minute.
Ridiculous.
One of those women was
Dora
the Explorer.
And that's so funny because when you go with your friends to
you do that.
Mm-hmm. And
you dress like Dora the Explorer? I don't know.
I don't even have the energy.
Like
go ahead, Heather.
Like when you go to the bar with your friends and then
or on vacation.
Like, okay, there's Dora the Explorer. Oh, she's hanging out with Barbie.
There's
now.
The scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the professional athlete.
Or maybe girls just do it. I don't know.
No, boys do it too.
Boys do it too. But this is funny. It doesn't make sense that Coach dances to a country song because
I don't think Black Velvet is a country song.
Black Velvet is country.
No.
Country.
Mm. Is this sung by that one girl?
It was just like from the 80s or 90s.
90s.
A girl sang it. I don't know who. It was
might
very
be
popular.
Sheryl Crow.
It's definitely not Sheryl Crow.
Maybe not Sheryl Crow. But it's country, Black Velvet.
So you think it's country, but you think Sheryl Crow sang it, who's not a country artist.
Oh, I don't know. I'm confused, okay?
Okay.
All I'm saying is he shouldn't be dancing because he doesn't dance without the crystal. And he didn't.
That's
the
true.
Crystal.
I think he was scared of lion dancing.
Oh, it was lion dancing. Okay.
So Jess apologizes to him, which is ridiculous because she has nothing to apologize for. All she was doing was coming with May to the bar. And she's not the love doctor and tells Cece, you should go on your trip. Don't listen to me. Schmidt and Fawn are now, I guess, same day. Shopping for, quote, underpants, as he calls them. And she says, look, we're just going to go to dinner. We're going to get in a fight. You're going to say that you've checked into rehab. Then we'll get married. And he's like, married? And she's like, yes, you'll be rich. I'll be powerful. And he says, this is what you've always wanted. And he said, I'm just realizing right now it's not what I want. I want to be in love. And he intentionally causes a fake scene as he breaks up with her that he feels like he has underpants all over him.
That was
Schmidt
so
out.
Good. I love Schmidt out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice. And he also assured Fawn that he would vote for her.
That was her concern.
Yeah. And she looks so sad when he's leaving.
Her face.
Yeah.
Alana Miles sang Black Velvet.
Did you just look it up?
Oh, she's a country singer, huh?
Well, the description on her is always have you hang on every word with sex dripping from his voice. Now, I don't know if that's the lyrics.
She's a woman, so that wouldn't be his voice.
Yeah, so, I don't know. All I know is Alana Miles.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, right, Joe.
Thank you. She must have been a one-hit wonder.
Definitely. So we're back at the bar again, and Jess said she was wrong and she won't get involved again when Coach Amici does love her. And she's like, haha, I was right. And Nick says, let's flash forward to 40, 50 years. I'm dead. And they're both like, definitely, for sure. You have kids, grandkids. Who is it that you have sitting next to you? And after some ridiculous banter, he thinks it's May. So he's like, let's go get her. And Winston comes out to tell everyone that Casey finally texted him back, which I've left out. Just gave him some advice on how to text. And he can't find everybody. I'm interested if you heard this, Joe, because I had never noticed this before. When Winston comes out and can't find everybody, he says to the guy next to him, hey, have you seen my white friends?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even catch it.
I've never heard that.
He just said that. Funny. He said that on this show.
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Yep.
That was funny.
So, Coach goes and gives May this big speech. He says he loves her. She loves him. She asks him to move to New York. And Nick and Jess are in the sound booth because she's recording something. And they're really happy. And she says, oh, that was nice. Who do you see yourself next to? And he says, Winston, mostly.
I know. That was
when they're
so
old
funny.
And gray.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she says, me too. I see him eating handfuls of birdseed. He gets really into birds.
Oh, that was so funny. Foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Because he go in that same conversation. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I like grandmas. They smell like when you first open your cupboard.
Yeah, two conversations ago.
Yeah. But, I remember that.
But I want to back up to say, when Jess is in the song booth, she's doing the Cabbage Patch.
Yes. That Nick's like kind of swaying.
Yeah.
But she's like full on dancing.
So also, Fawn threw a little thing in there. You might not saw unless you had closed captioning. But he goes, oh, yeah, we're moving to New York. She goes, wow, Jersey City.
And he goes, Jersey City.
That was funny. Yeah. So is Jersey City, is that in New
That's
Jersey?
Not in New York. That's it's across the river. Yeah.
Oh.
It's probably not as nice. Long expensive.
It sounds a little
scary. It's a lot less. But from Jersey City, you can see downtown New York.
Oh, you can.
As long as you right can there, see it.
Yeah. And just jump in the train, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different.
Okay, so...
Well, who can afford New York? Not me.
On a cellist salary, I hear
that. How much does a cello make? A cellist salary?
Not
make?
A lot.
That's a celloist.
How much do they make? Since you know that it's not a lot.
Well, if you listen to Schmidt with his Die Rhapsody by Revere, Swedish Orchestra. I mean, he knows everything about orchestras.
Yes.
It's a pretty popular orchestra.
I don't know what that has to do. If you're playing at the Met.
They can make six figures.
Right. Yeah. Well, maybe they want to save up. She wants to save up for a house.
I don't think she's making six figures.
In New York, that'd be tough.
Yeah.
Everyone's got apartments in New York.
You'd have to go to Connecticut, probably.
So this is one of the times we're going on a tangent.
Or Jersey City.
So we're back at the loft and the gang's eating pizza. They pop in, turn on the TV, and there's porn / smut on. And Jess and Nick are arguing about taking
Who leaves porn in the DVD?
I know what it was. She referred to it as smut and then softcore porn. So I think it was more like an HBO movie.
Who leaves the channel on?
Yeah.
Oh, HBO movies are
Well, no,
racy.
I know it was a DVD because he said it was. I'm just saying I don't think it was, like, by definition.
HBO needs to tone it down on that, please.
Okay.
If you're listening,
just
HBO.
Don't watch HBO, Heather.
Well, I like it.
Okay.
So thanks, HBO, for listening.
We find out that Winston's been sleeping on the couch because him and Ferguson have been fighting. And everyone's just arguing and being silly. And Coach just smiles like he
I haven't seen Ferguson all season. Where's Ferguson been?
He's in the next episode, but he's less and less. We commented on that quite a few podcasts ago. Like, is the cat even there?
Oh, wow.
Or they reference him, but he's in the
next
episode.
Maybe his contract only says so many episodes.
Well, Lamorne is allergic to cats. So, and he didn't enjoy working with the cat. He found it challenging. So I think that
that's probably
really inappropriate to have someone who's allergic with cats handling one.
I know. That's messed up.
Well, he had to read the script to the show, I'm sure.
The cat?
And Lamorne to know that, oh, there's a cat in here.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, maybe he thought it was so good.
Should have made it Nick's cat.
Yeah.
Well, and then, I think if anyone was going to have a cat, it was going to be Winston.
Yeah, and the references to Ferguson are powerful. But I love how nobody said, like, oh, what are you guys fighting about? Mm-hmm.
Huh? Is the mug in this episode or next episode?
Oh, no, next episode, not this episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that brings us to favorite Jess lunch.
They stayed up really late on a school night.
Okay.
Because it was a Monday.
I feel like they always do.
They don't
like also
summer.
Get up in time to have brunch.
It was summer, though.
It was summer.
Yeah. Because all the orchestras, everything happens in the summer.
Oh, it does?
That's where she got moved there. Yeah.
So what was some, that makes sense then.
Yep.
I guess it probably
all the practices, everything. Because it was the end of the school year. You could tell by the sex education class.
Oh, okay, so if they were in school.
It was the end of the school year, just before summer. Then summer they go practice, and then in the fall it hits the shows.
Mm, okay.
And then coach said, that's how babies are made. Gross, right?
Yeah. At least she was taking it seriously.
That's a good way to actually keep people.
Well, later, Jess says to May, like, he broke down in sex ed class, which was really good because it taught the kids about the emotional implications of, of the kids just look
those
confused.
Kids are going to be scarred.
Yeah. So we would start with favorite Jess look. I feel like Jess, I'm sorry, I feel like Zoe must have started to be pregnant.
Yes.
Because we know later that she is and she takes the time off after she has the baby because it's not that her clothes aren't cute. But it's just, you can tell something isn't quite like it was before.
Yeah.
Which leads me to say I don't have a favorite dress look. Joe, do you?
Trying to think what she wore. Because, I mean, every time I see her, it looks like she's in the same outfit.
Yeah, she pretty much she it was same, all over the course of one day. This episode.
I think it was a red and black dress.
Yeah, red and black is what I remember.
So I put nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Best dressed overall, I put that the guys were all in button-up shirts on a Monday.
Oh.
Especially because all of them wear their shirts like Joe and Kaden with the top button undone, except for Winston, who always has his top button done.
It's like, how does Winnie the Bish breathe?
It looks so uncomfortable.
Yes,
but
it really
just,
does.
It's just such a nice character trait.
I gotta give it to Dora.
Oh!
Dora looked like Dora.
She did look like Dora.
Yeah.
I don't know who would come to a bar with keep their backpack on while they dance.
It was weird.
Well, they're like girls' purses now.
Backpack?
Yeah, I have a backpack purse, but at that time it wasn't really back. That was like a 1990s thing, and now it's back in fashion. But that backpack was big.
Yeah, it was.
And she was short. She had the haircut. Had it wasn't just the backpack.
Everything.
Shorts.
I wonder if she wants to, if she wants to look like Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, because then that made the joke work.
Part of the joke, yeah.
So they went and found someone to be Dora.
No, I know that. But I'm saying, not the actress, the character.
Mm-hmm.
Does the character want to look like Dora?
Probably not.
Or did that, so that just happened.
Yeah.
Because who'd want to look like a cartoon?
Heather, who's your best dressed?
Well, I have two. So I'm samesies with Joe, Dora.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the flashback to Schmidt with the belly laughs t-shirt.
Yeah, didn't talk about that.
That was hilarious.
He's on name a location. The guy goes, fat camp.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The belly laughs was the name of the group.
Right.
Right.
And belly laughs was on their
the
t-shirt.
Logo.
Yeah.
Favorite Schmidt moment, Joe?
I would say when he made up the vomit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had some good insight. He's like, you're not in love with me. You're in love with the idea, you know, and I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. But he usually doesn't get that deep.
Yeah.
Unless he's talking about Cece.
Right.
Which really he was.
Yeah.
He's saying, I want to be in love.
Well, also, that was about the most unromantic proposal I've ever seen
in my life.
It wasn't
even a proposal.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, you're going to marry me.
Yeah.
That's
like
it's married.
Just an item on a checklist.
Yeah. Heather?
My favorite Schmidt moment?
Right.
It's, well, okay. It's when he's in the clothing store and he's like mortified by all the underwear, but especially when he does Schmidt out.
Right.
Love that.
Same. I have that whole scene because the way he says underpants, he's like in this woman mannequin with this bra / teddy. He's so weird. And the way he looks at her when he leaves and the way she looks at
him. And it's all so ridiculous.
But also not. Because like it's ridiculous, but it's just so funny because it's, I feel like it just amplified like the crazy marketing plan someone would make if that happened.
Right. And how Fawn,
it's realistic but crazy.
And like Fawn does that character it's almost she does it almost like a Saturday Night Live thing.
Because
it's so over the top. Mm-hmm. But it's hilarious.
So for jar count we technically have one because he chose the slap over the jar. And now that we're talking about this, I know why they did it, since they do it so much in the next episode. That brings us to favorite funniest moment overall. Mine's just going to be redundant because it was Schmidt. Joe, what was your favorite or funniest moment overall?
I think it definitely has to be the boys drowning their sorrows.
Because realistic, saying, right?
You cure an outside wound with rubbing alcohol, inside wound with drinking.
You really
alcohol.
Like that
it's
part.
It's science.
Yeah. It's science.
Yeah.
Heather?
Yeah. Okay, mine, it just, it didn't get a lot of attention, but it was absolutely hilarious. Ferguson and I are fighting. Yeah. It's Winston's bed. Ferguson should have the couch.
Yeah, Ferguson like is also very small.
Right. Like, what are they fighting about? Bed. And don't cats stay up all night and sleep all day?
They just sleep all the time.
Yeah. They sleep 23 hours a day.
They do?
On average.
Is that a real statistic or did you just make that up?
Real statistic.
Wow.
Yeah. You ever go to a house, your friend's house, the cat's always sleeping.
It's true.
Yep. Yeah. The cat is always sleeping. Every time I go to my parents' house, the cat is sleeping.
That kind of defeats the purpose of hanging out with a pet.
It's like me of animals. Yeah,
they'll get up and play for 5 or 10 minutes and it's back to sleep.
Yeah, I had a neighbor who wanted a pet, but she also wanted to travel all the time, so she got a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't care if you're home or not.
Yeah, they're they you prefer know, you not
they're
be
like,
home.
Do what you
Peace
want.
Out. Yeah. Just give me my food.
Leave me food and drink.
Yeah. That brings us to Honey Roast Award for Best Character Performance, Inanimate Object Crew Member. Joe, what do you have?
Well, I think the cello stabilizer should get a
mention. Oh, an object. I love when you do that.
Yeah, I think that would be a good, because that really was the thing that brought her back. And think about it, what happened when she came back? The love doctor talked her into, let's go find
catalyst of the
him.
Episode.
Because she wouldn't have come back if
she didn't come back with a cello stabilizer. They don't get back
together. I love how you keep playing the cello stabilizer.
So that's one of those moments in life where you're inches and seconds away from missing something.
I know.
Interesting. Wow, that was good insight, Joe.
Heather?
Oh, for me, it had to be Fawn Moscato.
Mm.
But first of all, just her whole arc.
Yeah.
And then her her face after the breakup.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so good in that role. And I want Schmidt to be with Cece, but I wish, they had just kept Fawn on as...
Yeah,
something
else.
So
this is the last time we see her.
No, we see her one more time.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that was fun.
Nice. I put May, just because I thought it was exciting that Coach found someone, and I think the loft is too crowded, so I'm excited Coach is leaving, not because I don't like his character or the actor who plays him, but it never made sense to me for them to have that many people in the loft.
Question.
Oh, sorry. so that brings us to Bears. I caught 0. What about you guys?
0.
Joe?
Bears? No Bears.
Okay. So that brings us to discussion questions. Joe, would you like to kick it off?
Ooh.
The discussion question for this one is...
I mean, that's a tough one, because I think the only thing you can discuss here is how Nick and Schmidt both had insight that we never see.
Yeah, Nick did have surprising insight.
Who do you see yourself next to?
Yeah.
And then Schmidt was like, wait a minute, this ain't love. This is,
not what I want. I want love. Yeah.
I want that. So it took a bad relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To understand the good.
To magnify.
I don't think his relationship with Fawn was bad. I think it's just what he thought he wanted.
Right.
And it was made him realize, I don't
but
want
it
to
be
superficial.
Yeah. You know how you got to go through so many frogs to find the prince and everything
else.
Right,
yeah.
I think that's where, and we'll see in the next episode, spoiler alert, what happens with Schmidt and Cece. But, that was the final straw, I think, for Schmidt.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, she's, obviously Fawn's beautiful and fun, and he liked her, but he wasn't in love with her because his heart still belongs to Cece.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one, Joe, because it's like, shows they're emotionally growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Character growth.
Yeah, or character development, if you will.
What about you, Hez? Any discussion questions?
I didn't answer Joe's.
He didn't ask a question.
Oh, okay.
And he said a bunch of stuff back.
Well, I think the only question would be, do you realize, and maybe not relationship-wise, but maybe it's a friendship. Like, you finally realize, like, oh, I got to stop hanging out with these people. Or I got to stop doing this trend or doing this, you know,
yes.
hobby or habit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It finally takes you like, you know, I just got to stop this. This is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Because I get into stupid situations, but not now because, like, my friends are you guys. So that's good choices. But, like, all of a sudden it will just hit me and I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Just like that. And it's better for me. Mm-hmm. Like, the situation is stupid, like you were saying, Joe.
Yeah.
But has that happened to you? Because you sustain relationships.
Yeah. Well, no, it's happened to me a few times. Just from the standpoint of, it's like, I just can't keep doing this. This is just too much. It's too much work.
Right.
Or whatever
too much stress.
Yeah, or too much stress, you know. Or, you know, sometimes you get in a relationship and people are needy or clingy and it's like,
yes,
I can't do this.
It almost becomes like a codependent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm not a real clingy or needy person. No. So I don't need...
We need the remote.
I don't want... Yeah. Yeah, the remote's the only thing
that's
I got
to keep. That's the closest relationship.
Yeah. Exactly.
When Joe and I got married, it was really cute. He made me this book. It was called The Guide to... A Poor Woman's Guide to Living with Joe. And I've never...
Oh my God, I'm sure.
I loved it at the time, but I completely forgotten about it. Like a year or two ago, I was cleaning out and I found it. And I was like, what on earth is this? And I have to be fair. Joe warned me about everything that was going to happen.
And then we
made
a book.
And it said, Joe has to always have the remote control at all times.
Well, you put it out there.
Yeah.
And then we made a book about Joe. Mm-hmm. Where your stuffed animal tries to be like Joe.
Mm-hmm. Alex, yeah.
Yeah, Alex the polar bear.
Yeah.
Did you have a discussion question, Heather?
But that's good, though, that you can realize your faults.
Right.
And be able to put it into a book and show someone, like, look, this is what you're going to get yourself into.
Very.
So don't expect to change any channels in my house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you were upfront.
Yeah.
You're honest and you're self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
A lot of people don't have that certain self-awareness.
Yeah.
Especially in today's world of self-absorption, you know
totally.
What I'm saying? Everyone's into their own thing. And
right.
It's like, oof.
Yeah, it's crazy now.
It is like, oof.
Yeah.
It really is.
But I don't know why whenever somebody says, like, oh, I made so-and-so a book, for the first thing I think of is Phil's offices. On that was one of my favorite Modern Family episodes.
Same.
Yeah.
Hebs, did you have a discussion question?
Sure. I have, would you move across the country for love?
No. Joe? Joe loves moving.
Joe is really into moving.
I don't know. But could you imagine if Nick gave Jess a book before their relationship?
Let's answer the question.
All the things that you have to put up with Nick. Oh, my God.
Joe likes books.
But, Joe, would you move across the country for love? I wouldn't because I have children that live in California. So.
Aren't you forgetting
something?
And
additional family members. But, I mean, you have to take care of your kids.
If you moved, I would lay in front of the
Would you?
On the street.
Well, I'd be flying. So.
Oh, yeah. No, you have to move your stuff. Oh,
okay.
I never have because my career was moving.
You love to move.
So baseball was, when you're in baseball, I lived in all four states or all four corners of the country and went everywhere because you had to in order to get a promotion and better yourself.
Right.
You had to move.
So
the first 10 years of my career, it was just constant moving.
Yeah.
And then led me to California and the rest is history.
Well, you don't even live in California right now.
Yeah. No.
We'll be back.
But yeah.
No,
yeah.
You won't.
But, in all the time I've known you, you've moved like a million times, so many times.
I know.
But somehow your platter cooked to perfection on Joe's grill from me.
Makes it
always
with me.
Makes it to the
it's
kitchen.
Still up.
I love that. And pictures of my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you wouldn't move.
Oh, I don't even move my routine.
Exactly.
Unless Joakim's checked.
It's a risky move, though.
Well, yeah.
It's a risky move because especially if you haven't lived together yet. That's a real risky move. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing, because they're living separate, and now they're moving in together.
They've only been 3,000 miles away.
Right.
The exciting part is you're going to New York.
Right. You know, but it doesn't sound
like... Well, it's actually Jersey City.
You know, it doesn't sound like he has a posse waiting for him, and he's used to, like, all this friendship, being social.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say the three biggest stressors are moving, changing jobs, and getting married. They're not getting married, but, I mean, Coach has nothing lined up. That's risky. You
it's
probably going
to be hard to get a teaching job when you're not a teacher.
Exactly.
And he moved and already came back. He was in the first episode, then he went away for like half a year.
Well, I don't think they said where he went.
Because that leads me into my next discussion question. Are you personally sad that Coach left?
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
To New York? Because I think in the back of your head, it's almost like me, right? You know they're coming back.
Mm. Right.
You know they're coming back. There's something's going to happen or something.
He's in and out.
Yeah.
And I feel like I too am not sad. I'm used to it, like Joe said.
Yeah.
And I know he'll be back, but also, like, the actor is amazing, but there's other shows where I'm like, he can't leave.
Yeah. And because he wasn't there from the start. I mean, I know he was there in the first episode. It's not like we're losing Winston.
Oh, that would be terrible.
He's more of a supporting actor, Coach.
He's a supporting actor, yeah. And then my last question is super easy. But, okay, Cece wants to climb a mountain. How can she, first of all, school's supposed to be her priority. And
well, I don't think it's lost on anyone that Cece's kind of a mess.
That's true.
What mountain is she climbing?
Shasta.
In Oregon?
I think Wild. That's the name of the book.
Shasta's in
Oregon. I think Shasta's here in California.
It's in California.
Oh, it is?
Wild.
I've heard of it before.
Wild's the name of the book. And then Reese Witherspoon was in the movie.
Oh, Wild? Mm-hmm. I'll have to look that up. Thank you.
I can't believe you don't know what that is.
I can't either.
I don't have a discussion question, so that concludes the episode, guys. But we'll see you next week for season 4, episode 22. Clean Break, which surprisingly I didn't realize until I watched it, is one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, it's great.
Have a good week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.